News Talk, 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative, just plain right, and saving the world one soundbite at a time, I'd like to say. Hey, listen, we're going to number one on the Triple Dipper for the day. I'm just calling this whole segment hashtag AL Politics. If you're looking up on social media and you want to track what's happened in the State House or the governor's office or from the state attorney general or whatever else in state politics, go use the hashtag AL Politics. That always takes you there. You'll find great reporting. You'll find other input from different folks. And listen, I've got a friend who has been neck deep in this stuff for quite a while. And as I've put together, you know, the different topics that have been coming out, because we're in the final days of the legislative session, so much has been happening and not happening for that matter. And so I wanted to bring on a friend of mine. Stephanie Smith is the principal of the Thatcher Coalition. That's her business, but she's got a long background in governmental affairs and in working as the deputy finance director for the state of Alabama. She's got her master's in public administration from UAB, along with a degree from Auburn. But most importantly, she is married and the mother of 7 school-age children. So, hey to my friend Stephanie Smith, how you doing today?
Hey, Phil. Thanks for having me.
Absolutely. All right, well, so Stephanie, I mean, we could run the gamut here. I mean, we've got the VCAP bill, the lottery and gaming, the massive teacher raises that are going on, school choice and numeracy act and yada, yada, yada. So why don't we just break it down? I mean, I see gambling probably going down in flames as being one of the biggest stories. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think that's a big story. It's one of those things that maybe I'm not a trusting soul, but until signee die, I'm on pins and needles on gambling. But it was good to see it die a quick death if it doesn't get resurrected. I think the introduction of the lottery bills in the House complicated issues a little bit.
Yeah.
And for those of us who are anti-gambling, that didn't hurt my feelings at all.
No, I agree. And yeah, for those who were tracking, the one bill we've talked about on the show multiple times, the gambling bill, we call it, is the one that expanded casinos. It took all of the lawbreakers and bad actors from the casino gaming industry for years in Alabama and gave them a monopoly in the state to expand casinos like every 75 miles in the state of Alabama. But then they dropped in a pure lottery bill, which is, you know, take that for what it's worth. But anyway, a pure lottery bill.
A unicorn, right?
Yeah, exactly. And it diffused things. It basically, it robbed some of the, siphoned away some of the votes from the gambling bill, which was already somewhat unpopular and struggling to find its way. But Stephanie, let me ask you this. Jeff Poor was on my show yesterday, and he opined that he is hearing, you know, rumors of a special session that would include gambling later in the year. I find that to be difficult to actually believe that Kay Ivey would call them in for gambling. But what are your thoughts? What are you hearing on that?
Well, she's got to call them in on the ARPA funding just because of the timing of that issue. And so the rumor that I've heard through the grapevine is that she might add gambling to the call when she brings them back in for the ARPA funding. I think it's going to matter what happens in the primary.
Oh, it's definitely going to matter what happens in the primary.
Right. And so it's one of those things, you know, it could go either way. But I did hear that rumor as well. The interesting thing to me about the gambling bills, and they've been like this, but I think most people don't realize it, which is they do give lawbreakers a monopoly.
Yeah.
And they created this enforcement division that, to me, is just crazy town. Basically, the gambling moguls or cartel or whatever you want to call them would have their own enforcement agency, and not just to enforce gambling laws, to enforce any law. And that would supersede the sheriff and supersede any local law enforcement. And that, to me, is just way over the top.
Yeah, the whole thing was wacky. I've said before that even if you took out the questions about gambling, that piece of legislation is probably one of the worst things I've ever seen drafted and carried by a Republican ever, because it grows government, it implements new taxes, it provides a monopoly where the government picks the winners and losers, and it just goes down so many different rabbit trails that are not considered conservative Republican red meat causes that you look at it and go, what in God's name were y'all thinking?
Absolutely. But, and then that pure lottery bill, that had the loan repayment plan. It was almost like a Biden college loan repayment plan was inserted into that bill as well, which I found very strange.
Yeah, in fact, I don't think we even touched on that on my show, but you're right. There was a piece in the so-called Pure Lottery bill that basically was like student loan forgiveness. It's like, we're going to be there for you and rescue you from those loans that you got for that underwater basket weaving degree. And that to me just does not seem like a good place to spend any tax dollars, or for that matter, lottery dollars. But
Absolutely not.
All right, so let me ask you this. Other things that are happening right now, just really hit the airwaves in the last couple of days, is another massive pay increase for teachers. And, you know, right. I've got teachers in my family. I've got wonderful folks that I know that are classroom educators. I get it. They're not highly paid, but they also knew that when they got in. But right now they're talking about doing a huge pay increase for teachers that have been on the job for 9 years, I guess ostensibly to keep, you know, seniority, when that's not always what we need. Sometimes we need fresh blood, but they're looking at a massive increase in pay, and yet we're 50th in the nation. Like we're rewarding mediocre to bad results.
Failure.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah. A couple of things on the teacher situation are these pay raises. And on the general fund side, state employees got kind of a blanket 4% pay increase and a bonus for some retirees. The largest general fund budget ever in the history of the state, record setting. But then when you started looking at the education side, again, record setting, largest ever. But they're using words like generational and historic pay increases. And it's interesting because some people are getting upwards of a 20% pay increase for longevity. And where for longevity, except for they also decreased the time period for retirement. So I'm not sure how those two counterbalance, but you have these huge pay increases for the amount of years that you spend there, but also you can retire after 30 years and you don't have to wait until you're 62. So the argument that they're trying to keep good teachers in the classroom, I'm not sure that holds water.
No, it doesn't. What it does feel like, it feels like a great pandering bill. And what a lot of people don't realize is most folks, I think, take at face value, oh, well, you gave the teachers a pay raise. They're not doing... Do you realize that's a perpetual expense? I mean, you worked in the office of the finance director. You know, once you incur an expense based upon personnel, you're not likely going to ever repeal that. And those personnel dollars are perpetual. They stay in place with the state every year thereafter. So last I recall, something like a 1% pay increase for classroom educators was a $70 million plus or minus hit perpetually thereafter. And they're talking about a massive pay increase at this point.
Right. It's a massive pay increase. And the other thing is that, you know, a lot of people will make the argument that teachers aren't paid enough. And I don't know that I necessarily disagree with that, except for we can do an analysis of what teachers are paid in Alabama versus what teachers are paid in our surrounding states. And not only are they competitive, we're in the top echelon. And then if you make a comparison to what the average Alabamian makes, teachers actually make 15% more than the average Alabamian already. And that's before these pay increases.
And that's taken into account their total package, because they have an amazing retirement plan and they have basically a diamond crusted health insurance plan.
Healthcare, so right.
Well, yeah.
For themselves, right. And their dependents.
Yes, absolutely. Well, listen, so switching over to social issues, have you been tracking the VCAP bill, which is basically the bill that would prohibit administration of transgender therapies and surgeries on minor children in the state of Alabama? And you know, we can't get our Republicans to pass that bill. They passed it in the Senate, but they can't get it to the floor in the House. And yet the Biden administration came out yesterday totally advocating for transgender surgeries on minors. So it almost appears that our House members in Alabama, which are Republican, are lining up with the Biden administration on this issue right now.
Absolutely. This is the third year that the Senate has passed that bill. Pretty easily. I mean, it you know, has caused some conversation, but wasn't a close vote any of those 3 years. And it's gotten stuck in this exact same place for the last 3 years, which is the advocates have the votes to pass it, and the House leadership sits on it and doesn't let it on the floor for a vote. And so it's one of those curious things to me of why the House leadership is so specifically against this bill. I would argue that usage of off-label and cross sex hormones borders on child abuse. There's a situation, I have 7 kids, and there are times when kids don't make sense. I love them, but, small children don't always know exactly what's best for them. I think that my 5 boys would probably just eat M&Ms and Oreos for every meal.
No doubt.
If I let them. And so it's one of those things that when you're talking about minors, it's an important distinction to me. We're not talking about adults. We're not talking about people who have thought through this and had years-long process and counseling and things like that. We're talking about young children.
Yeah.
Even elementary age children being given these cross-sex hormones, that then it's very difficult to reverse.
Yeah, it absolutely is. And in your comment right up front in this train of thought we're on, that is child abuse is absolutely relevant. I mean, it certainly is. And we already have laws. I even had a very conservative individual that you and I both know tell me that, maybe we shouldn't talk about this one because, it's telling parents what to do. Well, we already tell parents that statutory rape of a child is bad and that underage drinking is bad and that you can't drive until you're 16 and you can't drink until you're 21. I mean, we already take into account that the reason why they put the sweet cereal on the bottom shelf in the grocery store is because kids grab things sometimes that they don't necessarily have to have. But this is a classic example of
a child endangerment issue.
It is. It's absolutely child endangerment. It absolutely is. Mm-hmm. All right. Well, Stephanie, I'll tell you what.
The frustrating thing for the advocates of that bill is that it just keeps getting in this same exact spot. And it bears questioning.
Well, it bears a lot of questioning, and I can't figure out. The only thing that I've heard that becomes a not-so-justifiable reason is that they're worried that Alabama would hurt its business climate by putting something like I guarantee you they won't. I guarantee you. Look at Florida. Florida just signed something into place that took a lot of heat, and I guarantee you their economy is not taking a single hit. Well, listen, Stephanie, can you hang on during the break? We got about a 3-minute commercial break we got to take right now. And if you're good, we'll come back and finish this conversation.
Happy to.
Absolutely. All right. I'm with Stephanie Smith with the Thatcher Coalition, someone who has spent a lot of time around hashtag #ALPolitics. We're talking through things that are happening in our state legislature right now and, truthfully, things that are not happening. So, yeah, stay tuned. We'll have more of this when we get back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM 92.5 FM WVNN Phil Williams Right Side Radio, solid and conservative and just plain right. Going back to the phones right now with my friend Stephanie Smith, who is with the Thatcher Coalition, a long history working in and around state politics, and we're talking through what I'm calling on the Triple Dipper hashtag #ALPolitics, different things that are happening in Montgomery, especially in the waning days of this legislative session. So, hey, Stephanie, one of the things, and I'm trying not to be negative, but there's been a lot of frustrations, I guess, as conservatives with this legislative session, really this with the legislature period. But one of the things that really is missing is there was a great burst of hope for school choice, and it seems to have just kind of fallen by the wayside at this point. Your thoughts?
Yeah, at the beginning of the session, that school choice bill by Del Marsh and Charlotte Meadows kind of burst onto the scene, and there was a lot of enthusiasm for it. But immediately, or maybe even before it was introduced, what I call the educrats in Montgomery descended, and really it's a funding issue for them. It's not about choice. It's not about parents. It's not about students. It's about funding. And so that became really clear very quickly. And they were not willing to let go of the funding. And so their argument was basically, this is state funding. It's not taxpayer funding. It's not the money that parents are sending in to educate their kids. And parents really don't deserve the ability to make a choice of where their kids go to school. And they won the day. So it was really frustrating. frustrating that it kind of got shelved really quickly.
Well, let me ask your thoughts on this, because, you know, there was a time when I got elected in 2010 when the state party, which still has a resolution on the website that says the Alabama State Republican Party does not want its candidates to receive money from the AEA, the teachers union. And back right. when I got elected, you just didn't do that. I mean, like, who wants money from the AEA? And the AEA fought everything we stood for. Not just on, by the way, not just on education. They fought everything we stood for. Now you're right. seeing quite the different trend. I mean, most Republican candidates are taking money from the AEA. Has the AEA regained strength and clout, in your opinion, or has it just been a watering down of the principles of the legislative body?
I think it's probably a little bit of both. But when you see Republicans or people running as Republicans taking as much as $175,000 from one organization, it's pretty telling. Just a lot of money behind AEA, and it's one of those things that it's like you said, when I was involved in Alabama politics before on a daily basis, you know, AEA was kind of the arch enemy of the conservative, and now it seems like it's not. And the question is, why? Have they changed, or have Republicans changed? And honestly, if I'm giving you my true gut, Republicans have changed. The organization is still affiliated with the National Education Association, which is an extreme leftist group. They haven't disaffiliated with them. They're still under that umbrella. The things that they advocate for are, in my opinion, leftist, and they're for big government and leftist ideas. I don't think they've changed very much at all.
Well, so right now the state legislature is down to the end. You used the magic words a minute ago. For those who don't know, when you adjourn sine die, that's a Latin phrase that means it is finished or thereabouts. And so we're looking at sine die is coming up. They finished, what, 3 legislative days this week? So they're looking at 4 more potential legislative days. Am I correct?
That's right. And there are rumors that the Senate might leave early. I don't know. Did you ever do that when you were in there, when you were?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of funny because I feel like there's less coordination now between leadership of the House and Senate on that kind of thing. Used to be we wouldn't leave till the other body was ready in case there were things that had to get passed back and forth just as a courtesy. But right now it seems like if one body wants to avoid something, they just duck out of the House or duck out of the building before the other one has a chance to do something.
Right.
So I don't know.
And there are a few bills I would like to see the Senate take up. But, what you said earlier about what was being considered and what's not considered, the number one thing on my list, well, there are two big ones to me that were not considered or not seriously considered, are major tax cuts. We have these huge budgets. We have uncertain economic times. We've got people who have weathered the storm of COVID, lost jobs, closed businesses, and we're still paying grocery tax. We've got this huge gas tax on our shoulders. And there have been really no major, there's really been no major push for tax cuts or returning that money to the people. And that's pretty significant to me.
Yeah. Yeah. Stephanie, great input. And you basically just recounted the last 6 months of this show. So, listen. We will do this again sometime soon, my friend. And folks, that's Stephanie Smith from the Thatcher Coalition. You can look them up at thatchercoalition.com. She's got a long history of working in and around state politics and knows of what she speaks. Stephanie, thanks for being on today.
Thanks, Phil. Appreciate it.
All right, thank you. All right, folks, stay tuned. Coming up next, right after the top of the hour news break, we're going to have a candidate for House District 4, Sheila Bannister, will be on the show talking to us about why she's running and who she is. Time to meet the candidates. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.